Let's learn the parasha. Parasha Shoftim. Shoftim v'shoftim tinim tifnach b'chol sherech. The first opening theme of the parasha is the mitzvah to appoint judges. Mishpat. Came all of your gates. Rashi tells every shevet. Many psukim telling us there should not be any corruption like satan mishpat. One thing I found is intriguing, and this actually was in the Daf. A lot of the stuff overlapped from the Daf Yomi. Now Daf Yomi is doing Masechta Sanhedrin, and there's a lot of overlap in the Rashi's to the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. And one thing I just found intriguing, I don't have any very deep understanding of this, is that tzedek tirdaif. You shall pursue righteousness. So the Gemara's interpretation, what does it mean tzedek? What does it mean tzedek? Tzedek. So one interpretation is tzedek. It's tzedek for the one that's innocent. He gets back his money, and it's also tzedek for the one that's guilty, because money that does not belong to him has been taken back. He's living in sin, and when the judge says give back the money, so he's no longer living in sin. So it's good for the victim, and it's good for the perpetrator, because both of them, the victim has been, his money has been restored. So it's tzedek for the victim, and it's tzedek for the perpetrator, because he, until this point in time, he is living in sin. Now, Rashi here, something very, I find very intriguing. So we wrote the Gemara, tzedek, tzedek, tiradoif, halech achar bezdin yofe. When you have a dispute with your friend and you need to go to court, you should go to a beautiful court. If we were writing the Gemara, I don't think that's the word we would use to describe a court, really a beautiful court. What? Like, you know, the Supreme Court, it's magnificent. Marble pillars, columns, steps. You know, it's a grand. How much would it cost today to build the Supreme Court of the United States? $500 million? Probably $500 million would cost to build such a magnificent. Even go to the
and it's
court.
It's not beautiful if you lose.
But the court, go to a beautiful court. Okay, go to Court Street in downtown Brooklyn. It's impressive. Okay, outs from the outside. From the outside. The inside is a little run down. Okay, the basement is certainly very run down. Few times that I went there, but from the outside, wow, you know, it's impressive. Is that what it means? Go to a bezdin yafe? Of course, that's ridiculous. So what does it mean, yafe? The dayanim should be good-looking. Handsome, you know? You know, at least, if you know, even if you don't like, well, they don't like what's going on, at least there's someone handsome to look at. A nice tie, a nice suit, a good-looking person is also, you know, entertaining. Is that what it means? That's obviously ridiculous. So what does it mean, yafe?
Ambiance is important.
What?
Ambiance.
Okay, so you want to say no. You want to say, not like what I said. You want to say, you said yes. If you go to a magnificent court building, and the court, thank you so much, and the courtroom is, always comes to the rescue. Okay. If you go to a magnificent court building, okay, so you're saying it makes an impression upon you. The judges are dressed very well. It adds prestige. It enhances the judge. Okay, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe that's an element of exactly what it means. Yafa, indeed, the court building should be beautiful. The dayanim should be very presentable. It should be good, well air-conditioned. And that will enhance the nishbat, honor to the law of Hashem. Okay, I stand back. I just want to say another idea. Similar idea. Yafa and Chazal, usually, what does it mean the person is beautiful? Sarah, the isha yafa ad me'od. Okay, Rachel hoisa yifas toyar vifas mare. Torah is not shy. Torah is not very shy. When Torah comes to beauty, the Torah says it. Okay, the Torah says it the way it is. Sarah was, knockout gorgeous. What's the expression? There's expressions. There are expressions to describe. What?
You're on.
Just the opposite. If you go, the cardinal sin in Shidduchim is to ask, is the girl pretty? That is the worst thing you can possibly say to a shatran. Is the girl? They'll kill you. They'll kill you saying that. Even asking for a picture. One thing if they give you a picture, but if you ask for a picture, you're finished. You're dead in the water. They do? Okay, some people have a lot of guts. The people that I'm in contact with, if I would go and ask for a picture, I would say, you are finished. On the other hand, I'm really digressing, but I remember the yeshiva, there were three Russian yeshivas, so I went to yeshiva, and they had very different personalities. And there was a joke going around yeshiva when they would ask, when a boy would shidduch him, and he needed some advice about the yeshiva, he wanted to ascertain is the girl pretty? Because if a girl is pretty, at least in the boy's eyes, right? If a girl is pretty in the boy's eyes, that totally changes the dynamics of the shirch. So there's a joke going around, how do these Rosh Yeshiva, do they ask the boy the question? It doesn't pass for Rosh Yeshiva to ask a girl right out. Mm-hmm. But every Rosh Yeshiva has to, someone who used to mimic different Rosh Yeshivas, how they asked the question. One Rosh Yeshiva, they would say, he couldn't even say the words, he would say, tell me about the hadras panim, like very, and with the hair, tell me about, like very, very extremely vague hadras panim. The other person, the much more intense person, he would say, okay, we've discussed the panimius, I now want to know the chitzonius. And then there was another Rebbe, which was very blunt. That was his whole personality and everything that he ever did. He just said, all right, just tell me, is the girl pretty? So there was this contrast of how the different Rosh Yeshivas, they would ask this question. But what does it mean, yafeh? What is it? The Torah says, v'isha yafeh ad ma'od. So if you look at the Mefarsh, what does it mean, beauty? Beauty means balance. You have something, many opposites, or many, many different characteristics. What makes a human being beautiful in the eyes of the person is, well, they have their eyes, and there's a nose, and their cheeks, and their ears, and there's height, and there's all different types of characteristics of a human being, and each one can be beautiful, but beauty is defined relative balance to everything else. A person is very, very tall, then there has to be a balance. If everything else does not fit. Then being tall is not beautiful because it looks strange. Because it's not balanced with all of the other characteristics. And a person has a very big nose, well, if his face is very big, and the eyes are a certain type of eyes, then indeed the balance of the nose relative to the eyes is one. But if you take that exact same nose, or those eyes, or these certain features, these characteristics, and put it on another person, it's ugly. Beauty is always when everything is in balance. Everything is in balance. That is what brings out beauty in anything in this world. You have different specific elements. Each element by itself can be awesome in the right place and in the right time. And beauty is defined when multiple elements come together in the proper balance. This is the simple translation of beauty. This is a dictionary translation of beauty. And that's what it means. That's how, when you look at a person, you ask a psychologist, why is this person beautiful? Why is he considered to be beautiful in the world? Is because everything is in balance, all the different elements. Yeah? It's a chazal. Yeah. Look at the girls who went out to dance. They said, no, Shebrem would say, Ein Isha Ela L'Yoyfi, Ein Isha Ela L'Banim, Ein Isha Ela L'Mishpacha. Okay, so there are different translations. There are different translations of what it means. But on a very mundane, secular approach to the word yafeh, you have a right to translate the word yafeh, beauty, what beauty means. Beauty means there are many elements. All the elements have to be in the proper proportion and proper balance to one another. You go to a bais din, it's a very, very big problem today in chinuch and a problem in going to batei dinim. And that every community has a bais din that's basically biased towards their hashkafa. And, you know, you have a bezin of 3 dayanim, 10 dayanim, 20 dayanim, 23 dayanim, and they're all from the same community. They're all from the same frame of mind. Klal Yisrael is diverse. The Klal Yisrael is a very diverse. We have 12 shvatim. There are 20 to 40 mishmaros. There are numerous makaros in Chazal, where Chazal, the Torah, appreciates diversity in Klal Yisrael. Of course, provided all the diversity is within, under the umbrella of Das Torah. That's a given. Everything is kahalacha, but just because the halacha allows you have a different color, you don't have to drive the same color car. You can drive a different model car. Nothing wrong with driving, not everyone is the same. But in Hashkafa, there are many makayos that there are different strokes for different folks. You go to a bezdin, the bezdin should be a bezdin yafeh. What does that mean? The members of the court should be diverse. They should have different backgrounds, a different approach to dealing with an issue. They're not all products of the same cookie cutter. Because when you're all exactly the same, there's no balance, and it's just one approach that lacks the ability to view an issue with an open mind. When I went to high school, which was not so long ago, my class was very diverse. We had some very modern boys from very modern families. We had boys whose parents were in kollel, parents were rebbeim. We had a lot of boys whose parents were doctors and lawyers. The diversity was really, and it was a very healthy collection of people, and everyone had what to offer. Today, you hear this over and over, is that there is no, Baruch Hashem, the population in Klal Yisrael has expanded, mushroomed off the charts, and we don't, and today the trend is, every group has so much of their own, you don't need to take outside of your mold. And everyone is exactly the same in their group. And that now, finally, after many years, is being recognized as a very, very big problem. There's an enormous burnout, and there's a lot of problems keeping everyone in line. And some mechanchim are coming to realize now that the roots of this problem, why we're having a lot of hard time, is because years ago there was diversity. And diversity has risks, no question about it. Someone comes from a very, very modern home, and he does things which are not within the policy of the yeshiva. It can be a sakana, whatever, there are risks. But do these risks really outweigh the advantage that is given to a group of people to grow and develop together who come from a different diverse background? Who's to say? You can't judge. Every situation is different.
The climate is really intolerant of diversity right now.
Exactly. And many psychologists and experts in chinuch are trying to say that's the reason why there are so many more problems today. That's also debatable if there really are more problems today than there ever were, or it's just that we super magnify everything today. But that is a problem. If you don't have the openness to see another side, to be exposed to something else, it's healthy. It's a very healthy environment. Yeah?
My wife tells me in Beis Yaakov, she went to Beis Yaakov Seminary, there were girls from all over.
Seminary, right. But it's too little, too late, because seminary already, they're already finished. It's already... What? Seminary, it's too late. It's already after that. High school is the time. High school is the most important. Those 4 years...
High school
is okay. So it really depends where. But from the things that I hear about... and it's like the chinuch is very selective. That's not called yofe. Yofe is balance. Yofe is where you have very different things, a collection of different elements, different characteristics, which are different, and it has to be in proportion. You know, if you have some people who are totally not, you know, extremists, okay, you know, a school has a policy of how they want you to dress. A school only wants you to wear a hat and jacket. That's their policy. That they're entitled to their policy. But it doesn't mean they're not going to take a student who comes from a background where his parents don't wear a hat and jacket. Yofet represents a concept of many different characteristics which are different and all come together in a balanced way. The extremes are not so far-fetched. Look, putting Yemenites with Hasidim is not going to really go off well. Okay, you're not going to have a school putting Yemenites and Hasidim in the same class. It's not going to work. It doesn't go. You understand what I'm saying? Everyone has to. There has to be some common ground, but it has to be yofeh. If it's all the same, everyone went to the same elementary school, they went to the same high school, the same base medrash, and everyone does that the same thing, and everyone gets the same welfare check. That is not called a Beis Din Yofe. A Beis Din Yofe is diversity. You come to the court, they got a problem, there are many different perspectives. That will be a healthy give and take to come out with a proper answer. Yeah.
They told him they were
opening
the
Benoist
Tzion.
Yeah.
Naftocher. They told opening Benoist Tzion. Yeah. He wasn't happy. Because now, they might be isolated. They wouldn't send the daughters elsewhere. They wouldn't come here.
It's going to
be too white. Wasn't they?
It's a problem.
I ain't joking.
Okay, let's just go to one short idea. I really want to say this in the beginning of this week. This week is the first Shabbos in Chodesh Elul. Now, we are still in Zayin D'Nechemta. The Shiva, the Nechemta, there are seven Shabbosos that we read the Haftarah of words of comfort. And that goes all the way until Rosh Hashanah. We are up to the fifth parsha. This is the fifth week of the Zayin Dinechemta. But again, this week starts the 7 weeks, not Haftarah, but 7 weeks until the end of Sukkot. And the Mefarshim, the Svarim they write is that we know that seven is a very special number. There are seven Ushpizin. There are seven. The weeks of the count until Sfira until we come to Matan Torah. The 7 weeks represents a tkuf of time of Shlemus, of growth to achieve Shlemus. This week is the first week of 7 weeks that we grow through Sukkot. From this Shabbos Parshas Shaftim until Simchas Torah, we will go through seven Shabbos, 7 weeks. And these are 7 weeks of growth. It's interesting is that this... What?
All the meals.
Growth and food. It's interesting is that it's now with these 2 weeks, the five, six, seven, is an intense, we're now in a very intense moment of time. Because Mitzad Echad, it's the last 3 weeks of the Zayin D'Nechemta, and it's also the first 3 weeks of the Tekufa, of the 7 weeks of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nechama, the last 3 weeks of Nechama, is a more intense form of comfort. The comfort that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to console us over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash is, by design, the springboard of taking responsibility on our own to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We often say, Nechama, when a person's in the state of Nechama, you're on the receiving end. Person, Nachman, he lost a relative, so he's a Nebuch, he sits there, he can't do anything, he has a broken heart, people have to come and console him. You're a Nebuch, you're on the receiving end. The days of Elul, you're not a Nebuch, it's proactive. It's a time to pick yourself up and get to work. You know you have an obligation, what's your tafkid in this world? You have an obligation, you have to pick yourself up and get to do hard work. So what are we? There are times of the year where we're entitled to be on the receiving end. We're entitled to be a Nebuch, be on the receiving end, to be in a state of comfort. But then there are times of the year where we have to work. If we were designing the calendar, we would first finish the Zayin D'Nechemta, and then we would start the 7 weeks of growth, the 7 weeks of progress to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hashanah Rabbah, Aryeh is Rosh Tevos, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Hashanah Rabbah. We would do it in order, 7-7. But that's not the way Chazal designed the calendar. Chazal designed the calendar by design that there should be 3 weeks of overlap. There should be 3 weeks when we are in a matzav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to give us comfort, are the same 3 weeks when we have to step up to the plate, be proactive, and coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's very telling. That's very revealing is there are very big demands. Just because you're in the state of Nechama of comfort and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to you, use your state of Nechama to be proactive in coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very easy. You go to be Menachem of all people. It's very interesting to see. Some people, they just sit there. They sit there and they take it all in. They're in a state that you can't generalize. Every person, every loss is a world to itself. So right, you can't generalize. A young person dies, an old person dies, every situation is different. But you go to the Beis Avel, so some people, they're sitting there, they take it all in. And sometimes you go to Beis Avel, you get the sense that they're using this as an opportunity to grow. They're using this event as an opportunity to, as a springboard to influence people who come. Someone comes in, so instead of the person receiving the Nechama, what can I do for you? I want you also to take from this experience that I'm going through, whatever it was, and let's be a partner. You should be a partner. Let me awaken you that you should also have a desire to grow from this experience. It's very different, right? I'm sure you all understand what I'm talking about. There are different ways people relate to Avelos. The Torah here is presenting you a very healthy balance. It's a very healthy balance in how to deal with Nechama. Nechama is always seven. There are 7 days of Nechama, and by extension, there are 7 weeks of Nechama. So the first 4 weeks, take it all in. take it all in, go Shabbos Nachum, go to a singles event, have a good time, have some good food, go swimming, go here, go there. But then, towards the end of your nechama, you have to understand, it's not a free ride in this world. Part of the zman of nechama is to use it as a moment of opportunity to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's by design, the last 3 weeks of the Shiva de Nechemta are the first 3 weeks of the 7 weeks of growth coming towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The balance of how to deal with different situations in life. You could be the receiver, or you can be the giver. Some people like to always be the receiver, some people like to always be the giver. Take advantage, use it as I do, but the healthy balance is be on the receiving end, and then wake up and go to an operation of being more on a proactive end. Okay, let's go to another idea, a short, quick idea from Chaim Halevi. Chaim Halevi is very similar. We know there's a Medrash, and the Medrash says, we'll use it as a springboard to something else, the Medrash says that, why was Yehuda Zoche to be the Melech? In this week's parasha, we learn about Malchus. Okay, soim tasim ulach amelch, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah, there are three mitzvahs you come to Eretz Yisrael, one is Amalek, one is to build a Beis HaMikdash, and the third mitzvah is to appoint for yourself a melech. And in this week's parasha, we learn about all the rules and regulations of a melech. He may not have too many wives, he may not have too much gold and silver, he may not have too many chariot horses, and he has to have a Sefer Torah, he has to read the Sefer Torah his entire life, Laman Yilma Liyira Es Hashem Elokav. He has to learn the Fiyar HaKadosh Baruch Hu his entire life. That's the topic of a melech. Question is, where does Malchus come from? Who can you appoint the melech? Yehuda. Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda u'mechaykek mi bein raglav. Why Yehuda? Why not Reuven and Shimon and Levi? Why is he selected to be the Malchus? So the Medrash says it's a reward. You're right. Malchus really could have come from anyone.
He earned it. Tamar.
That's one. That's one interpretation. That this was one Medrash. There were many combining. There are many things which contributed. But one of the primary things which contributed was because he was the one that saved Yosef from death. Mm-hmm. The brothers sat as a Bezdin. They concluded that Yosef HaTzadik is a Redef. He is Chayiv Misa. Okay, 9 brothers, they joined Hashem with them. They concluded, he is Chayiv Misa, we will put him to death. And before we carry out the death, we're going to have a Seuda to celebrate. They sat down to eat, and Yehuda said, you know what? Let's not put him to death. Ma betza ki nahare yetzachinu v'chisinu estama. What benefit? What profit? What profit is there in killing our blood, a brother and spilling his blood? Let's sell him. Let's not go.
He did vote.
He was guilty, and the guilt continues forever. No question about it. But at least, the very least, is he minimized the crime to some degree. He would have been dead. Yosef would have been killed. It's only because of Yehuda he intervened. He said, we're not going to kill him, we're going to sell him. The brothers wanted to kill him. He also originally wanted to kill him. And now he comes along and he says, we're going to sell him. They accepted his argument and they decided to sell him. The Medrash says, because of that Maisa, that act of leadership, he was Zoichet to be the Melech of Klal Yisrael. From him, Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda. Of Chaim Halevi, Brisk, he asked the question, what's my high? My Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Very good. It's very nice. I understand. It was a tough act of leadership. I'm sure if you look through all the Midrashim, you'll probably find every one of the Shvatim had something good to offer. All of the Shvatim were excellent leaders. They were all military men. They were all powerful people. You can find a mile on everyone. It's a very nice thing that he did. But why? There's something more that needs to be understood. So he says a very powerful idea, and you see it's so true today, is when you make a decision in life, it's very easy to make a decision, but it's very hard to carry out that decision. What's going to happen with Yosef? The brother said, we're going to kill him. What are we going to do next? We're going to take his tunic, we're going to dip it in blood, and we're going to go home to our father, Toreif Toraf Yosef, Hakerna, and he says, Taraif Taraf, he's been ripped apart by an animal. Why didn't the Shvatim go back to their father and say, Father, we have a, as a Bezdin, you're already over a bottle, our father, you're not in charge anymore, you gave over the business to us, Okay, we control all the money. We were in charge over here. We sat down as a Beis Din, and we have decided that this Yosef fellow is a Roidif, and we put him to death. Why couldn't they be up front? Why couldn't they, if they really believed in their mission statements, so why couldn't they be up front and tell their father, we're in charge? That's the way the world goes. You retired, we're in charge, we made a business decision. Okay, it comes to a business. The father owns the business. The father owns the business for 50 years and he gives it over to the children, and the children go and they make a decision of what they're going to sell, what they're going to sell. It's a business decision, and that's it. They have a right to make that decision. So what happened? So the answer is the brothers were not able to go that far. They were able to make a decision which has major consequences, major ramifications, but they could not go so far to deal with the consequences and the ramifications 100%. Yehuda recognized that's a problem. That's not the way you make decisions in life. When you make a decision in life, you have to be true to your decision, to carry it out to the very, very end. All of the consequences, all of the ramifications, you have to take full responsibility. Therefore, if we are going to kill our brother, we have to be able to tell our father, we killed him. We killed him, he's dead, because he's a roidev. We can't do that. If we can't do that, we can't kill him. We can't kill him. And as far as I'm concerned, the Chazal said he really wanted to return him back to his father, but in the meantime, the best he can do is put him in the pit, and then whatever things happen, and then they sold him. That's Malchus. Whenever you have a melech, you have a king, you have a leader has to make for his country very difficult decisions. Go to war, not go to war. And then what? Who will be left holding the bag? Go to war, there's going to be a lot of dead bodies, there's going to be a very big debt, it's going to be a very, very big expense. No, let the next president deal with it. Right now, I want to have my fun. I want to take my revenge, I want to be in the news, I want my poll, I want to do what I like to do. The consequences, the ramifications... Listen, I'm not around forever. Let someone else deal with that. We'll fudge the numbers. We won't be transparent in the fallout in all of what needs to come afterwards. That is a major defect in leadership, and for that you can't be a leader. If you're going to be a leader, you have to be like Yehuda. You have to be able to say, we're going to kill him. Okay, it's a tough decision. We're going to tell our father that we killed him, we murdered him, because he's a roidev. If you can't do that, you go halfway. We're going to do something, and we're going to hide behind some make believe world. That is the chesaron in leadership. Every person is a melech over himself. You have to be a melech. Even Shlomo HaMelech, when he was driven out of the palace by Ashmedai, and he was wandering all over the world. And he had nothing. He didn't have a penny to his name. It says that he was still a melech over the makal. Everyone thought he was insane when he told them, I'm the king of the Jewish people. You're the king. What are you doing over here on the street, homeless person? I'm the king. The guy in the palace is an imposter. Ashmedai. So it says he was still a melech over his makal, over his staff. Every person is a melech over themselves. Every decision you make in life, you have to recognize, don't make impulsive decisions. You have to carry out the consequences all the way down to the very, very end. This is the definition of Malchus. Now, down the line, let's go to another idea. We have over here two different types of forms of leadership in this week's parasha. We have Shoiftim, and we have Malchus. Two different types of leaders. A Shoifet, okay, a judge, and he has a police commission. Right, he has a whole police force behind him. That's the Shoiter. The Shoifet, he sits in court, and the Shoiter is the officer of the court who has a gun and will point it at you if you do not enforce the law. And then we have a new parasha in this week's thing, a new idea in this week's parasha called the Melech. I ask you, what is exactly the difference between a Shoifet and a Melech? What's the difference? If you have a Supreme Court... and they have power, so why can't the Supreme Court, the judge of the Supreme Court, be the ones who tell you what to do? I mean, that isn't that anyway the way it is. In Klal Yisrael, the Rabbanim, who are Yoshev Rosh, they make decisions of leadership decisions. It's not just being a Chesher Mishpat, a shofet is chayshe mishpat. Chayshe mishpat, ichayev yipater, bein din ledin lenega lenega, divrei ruvis b'sharecha. But a shofet, you see people who are judges, they're very smart people. They see the big picture, and many times they are asked, should we go to war? Should we not go to war? Should we raise taxes, lower taxes? These are not chayshe mishpat questions, but these are people that are very intelligent. They're so intelligent, they got to this position where they are to decide money matters, so certainly they should be good enough to decide other matters. What then is the chilik between a shofet and a melech? So I think the answer is very, very simple. And read this in the pasuk, it's very meduyik. A shofet, the network of shoftim, is for internal. It's internal domestic issues. It's people have issues among themselves. Monetary issues, halacha issues, maybe even taxes. Maybe even the shofet, they'll chime in. Should they raise taxes, lower taxes? Maybe the shofet will chime in. Should we have street lights? Should we not have street lights? Is it safer this way? Safer that way? Should we? It's internal. Shoftim v'shoytrim titen l'cha b'chol she'orecha. The place of the shofet and the shoyter are domestic issues. Malchus are international issues. The focus of the melech is not to deal with the domestic policy. The tafkid of the melech is soim tosim lecha melech, the melech asher yetze milefonecha. He goes out. What does the pasuk say in the parasha of melech? The king, he goes out. He's not a guy who sits in the country. He goes touring the whole world. He goes to, he represents Klal Yisrael. He spreads the Shem Hashem, what Klal Yisrael represents throughout. He's a marketer. The Melech has a degree in marketing. He goes out to the world to market Yiddishkeit, to show the world what Klal Yisrael is all about. See, we're brainwashed because we live in a world where the President of the United States, he's expected to be the expert on domestic policy and the expert on international policy, foreign relations. And some presidents succeed in one and they fail miserably in the other. It's extremely rare to have a president in the history of the United States that was a success both in domestic issues and foreign policy issues. It's a very rare thing. Torah recognized this weakness, that one person cannot really have his head in two places. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way it's going to work. In the middle of the Torah established in this week's parasha a breakdown, a division of power, one group, a division of separation of powers, and basically we have a network of judges which focus primarily on domestic issues, and then we have the melech whose primary role is state, the secretary of state. Okay, we would call today the melech the secretary of state. It doesn't make sense because the prayer, whatever, but you understand what I'm saying, is someone who goes out into the world. Now, why do I say this? Why am I trying to bring up this point? Even though this stuff, I think, is a very valuable point. Let's go to Sefer Shmuel. And Sefer Shmuel is when Klal Yisrael, they decided, you know what? It's time to have a melech. And Shmuel is hurt. It has hurt Shmuel to the core. Because you don't have to have a king. Shmuel was the Navi. Okay, this comes after the Tekuv of the Shoftim. Remember, it was Shoftim. Until this point, it was Shoftim. What is a Shoftim? So, I mean, Shoftim, you know, there's a parasha. There's the only have a parasha called Shoftim. And you have a Sefer, a Navi called Shoftim. Okay, very, very unique. So Klal Yisrael was not yet ready for a melech, which simply means is they were still developing internally. When will Malchus first come into be? Malchus will first come into be after Klal Yisrael settles the land. They build the Beis HaMikdash, and all of the internal affairs have been settled. And then, once we have our house is in order, we can then start going out and missionizing. I don't mean them that way. I mean going out and
promoting
Klal Yisrael. So Shmuel is basically saying, if you want to read between the lines, is you're not yet ready for this. You're not yet ready. There are too many internal issues in Klal Yisrael that have to be settled, to be developed before we're ready to go appoint a foreign minister and have embassies all over the world with Malchus. But it's much more than that. Now here's what I want to put upon the pasuk. They come to Shmuel and they say to Shmuel, we want to come to you exactly the correct words. I need the right words. Okay. Get Shmuel Aleph. Oh, here it is. I got it. Okay. Vayiskabsu kol zikneis and Shmuel Aleph. Perek Ches. Vayiskabsu kol zikneis shol levayavol Shmuel haramasa. They come to Shmuel. Shmuel was the Navi. He was also acting as the Shofet. He was the Chief Justice. There was no Melech. I'm not even talking about the powers. Okay, there are a lot of halachas. What power a Shofet has, what power a Melech has. Let's just talk general terms. Vayemrilav, hinei, atos akandu. They say to him, you're an old man. And your children are not going in your ways. They're not going to succeed you. Now, simolonu melech. Appoint for us a king, lishavteinu, kichol ha-goyim, like all the nations. Right. So that I want to go on a different point. So the point that so what happened? Vayera hadavar be'enei Shmuel. He was very hurt. Why? Kasher amru tenolun melech ulishavteinu. Now, let's go to Rav Michal. So what does all the Farshim basically say? What bothered him? The common idea, what you're going to hear from Farshim, what bothered Shmuel was they said two extra words. Kichol ha-goyim. And this is a very valid approach. I'm not chasham taking away from this idea at all. Is that the melech in Klal Yisrael is completely different than the melech in the Umos HaOlam. The melech, what?
But in the pasuk in
Devarim,
it says,
"Soim tasim alecha melech." Let's find the pasuk. Let's find the pasuk. Yudzayin pasuk tes vav. Okay, soim. Let's go over. Kisol asher shalach lach. Okay, viamarta. Let's go back one more pasuk before that. Viamarta asima olai melech kichol hagoyim asher sivivoy soi. Okay, asimo lana. So it's not so bad, right? Kol hagoyim. So the pasuk says, "Soim tasim olacha melech, asher yivcha Hashem lokecha, bo mikir vachecha tasim olacha melech loisucha v'chulu v'chulu." So you have to read into the farshim. Kol hagoyim. Here it says, "Tenolim melech shavim like kol hagoyim." Okay, you have to read into the pasuk, but in echad, this can be. You don't know what they're asked, what they're thinking. One thing we know for certain. The role of a melech in Klal Yisrael is completely different than the role of a melech amongst the Umos HaOlam. The powers are different. The power of a melech in Klal Yisrael is limited. It's much more limited than when the Torah recognized the power of Umos HaOlam. The purpose, ruchni, is gashmi, it's a whole different ballpark, and that's not our topic now, and I'm not prepared to go into these details. The Rambam talks about this. It's a whole different world. The Torah says, but there is a common denominator, is that the Ummah Yisraelim have a melech, and we have a melech. They have a state in the United Nations, they have a place at the table with a nice little place card that says Uganda, and there's a place card that says Israel. Okay? Kechol ha-goyim. Kechol ha-goyim. So does that mean that the melech is exactly the same? No! Nothing doing. The melech is Shem, Torah, Mitzvah, the melech's tafkid, it's very limited powers, it's all for Ruchnius. But there's a world. Hashem made a world of the Umos HaOlam, and we also have to sit with it at the same table with them as a nation. Isn't that what it says in the pasuk? Kechol ha-goyim. You can't deny that. Like you said, it says the pasuk kechol ha-goyim, and the Torah gives us legitimacy. But if your kavana is kechol ha-goyim, like the goyim with the parades and the secular approach, the secular attitude and power and covered, then you got a problem. Okay, you got a problem.
If they had said Kasher Tzibah Hashem, would that Shmuel would have been angry?
Okay, you can. There are many different ideas. You're right. You're very good. You're right. Kasher Tzibah Hashem. You're right. Maybe would not have been angry. Whatever it is, I want to just focus on a different word, which I've not seen the Mepharshim focus on. Different, which is very obvious, glaring. I don't know why it's not discussed. But the common approach you're going to hear when you read about this topic about why was Shmuel upset. When the Torah says Kechol HaGoyim, the common approach is, you're right, you can have a Melech Kechol HaGoyim, but that's just on the outside. But on the inside, it's a whole different ballgame. The Chet, Shmuel was able to discern, he was able to see that Klal Yisrael, they wanted the king for the wrong reasons. They wanted to be a carbon copy of the Umos HaOlam.
We're a normal people, except that we're not. He says, quoting actually, said that their attitude was, we want to be a normal people.
Normal people.
But we're not a normal
people. Exactly. They wanted to be Kechol HaGoyim for the wrong. And they said, what do we say? What do we? Why are you obsessional? What do we say? It says in the Torah, Kechol HaGoyim, why are you angry at us? I know what you're thinking. When the Torah says Kechol HaGoyim, it means one thing. And when you say Kechol HaGoyim, you mean something else. How do I know what you're thinking? I know what you're thinking. No, you don't know what I'm thinking. That's the whole sichsuch. Okay, but obviously there are two dimensions of being a melech. The Torah says Kechol HaGoyim. You can't deny that. But mitzad sheni, look in the round, look in Shulchan Aruch. It's not Kechol HaGoyim. So this is the common approach to understand the give and take between Shmuel and Klal Yisrael. I want to say another very simple interpretation. There's another word that's not mentioned in the Pasuk at all in Parsha Shoftim, but is mentioned very prominently in Parsha in Shmuel, and that is the request was, we want a king. Now, we want a king that will also be a Shofet. We want a king that's not just going to be foreign affairs. We want a king, a melech, for domestic affairs. This week's parsha, there are two major issues, two major forms of leadership. Shoftim v'shoitrim. Titein l'cha b'chol shorecha. Domestic policy. Shoftim. And then there is, you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to settle the land. Now it's time to promote yourself amongst Umos Olam, to share the wealth with the Umos Olam, to share the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ah, v'yamarta asim olai melech k'chol hagoyim asher sviv osai. Good. Goes on. Doesn't say the melech is going to be the shofet. The Torah clearly separates the powers or the role of a melech, a shofet. The shofet is domestic. The shofet is domestic policy. The melech is purely foreign affairs. I know there's also a little bit of a mix. Look in the Rambam, obviously if you're a melech, you're living in the city, you have a palace in Yerushalayim, obviously you make a couple of decisions also. You know, there's no traffic on my street. I can park by the fire hydrant and no one's going to give me a ticket. What? Okay, there's law and order, but the focus is foreign affairs. Amongst the Umos HaOlam, there's no such thing as a separation of powers. The melech that deals with the foreign affairs is the same melech that deals with domestic policy. There's no such thing. Go show me a country in the world today where there's a division of power. A division of power. No such thing. United States, certainly, the model government of the world.
Communist
what?
Country.
Communist? What do you mean? What do you mean? Communist country? The separation?
You know, supposedly.
The president, what's the president of Russia called?
Forget it, China.
No, what's his title? The premier?
No, there's a president.
President, just a figurehead, like in Israel.
President
Israel doesn't do anything. He doesn't have any power. But the one that's in charge of everything. There's no difference between domestic policy and foreign. It's all the same. Money is money. We have to support the country and we do business, economy, and whatever our policy is. No such thing. By the goyim, it's all the same. Klal Yisrael, it's not the same. It's not the same. They're very different roles. When this word does not appear in the Torah, we're now partial. We have Shoftim and we have a Melech. The Chet, the people didn't even realize what they were saying. They said to Shmuel, we want to be merged. A Melech, a king, Lishoftenu, a king for domestic issues. There's no such thing in Klal Yisrael. That's not the king's role. For domestic policy, you have Talmidei Chachamim, you have Shoftim, a network. Shoftim v'shoytrim, they're going to tell you how to live, they're going to tell you how to earn an honest dollar, they're going to tell you everything. And in Mela, when you know how to live an honest life, you're not going to need someone to be a melech to come and do things, to behave in a way that a melech behaves. This is the chesaron of the dar of Shmuel. This is the issue. And I think it speaks a lot. That's the Lishavtenu. Shmuel is very, very upset. Look what he says.
So what did he say?
He goes on to explain it. Right, so this is an idea.
Basically, his response is he'll become a despot.
Right, because he'll be both. I mean, that's not what the Torah wants. The role is internal, external. When you're living a life of Torah, you don't need the melech to live over you internally. You have shoftim. The shoftim achieve that purpose. The melech is a different role. There's more, obviously there's more to this, but this is the basic principle. Mm-hmm. You have to appreciate in Yadus. Shoftim is a melech. The two have very different roles. The chait of the door of Shmuel was they wanted to have one person that captures both roles, just like it is by the Umo Yisraelam, the overlap. And that overlap is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. It leads to a lot of problems. It's not plan A. It can work. It did work, because that's what happened. Hashem said, listen, they rejected me. They don't want to do it the way I want to do it, but give it to them anyway. Like a child, you know, you only can fight with the child that much. The end is, just give in to them. Give what they want. Let them suffer. Let them figure it out themselves. That it's not the way it's supposed to be. When Mashiach comes, then things will be restored to the way it was meant to be. But it's important to take note of this idea. You study Tanakh and all the different kings. The Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yisrael. What is the Melech? Is the Melech for the Umo Yisraelam to promote us? Or is the Melech domestic policy? There's an overlap, obviously. Is that overlap healthy? Is that what the Torah wants? Was that part of our rebellion, that what we want to be like what the Umo Yisraelim want? These ideas of here are rooted in the Parasha and in Sefer Shmuel. Let's go to another quick idea. We're going to wind down with this idea. This week, I'm going to go over the Avud Raham. Okay, the Avud Raham, I told you this Avud Raham so many times, but I have no choice but to tell it to you again because I can't say the thing I want to say. Let's tell you the Avud Raham. What's the Avud Raham? The Shiva de Nechemta. And the Shiva de Nechemta is what? It's a conversation. It's a conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. After Tisha B'Av, what does Hashem say? Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yoimar Elokeichem. Hashem says to the prophets, I have a mission for you. I'm not doing this. I'm staying home, Shemayim. You, the prophets, you go on a mission and give comfort to my people. Go out. Go out, give comfort. And Nachamu, Nachamu, do a good job. Double. You do double, I'll pay you double. I'll pay you triple. You do a good job. So what happens? They go out on the mission. So comes the next parasha, Parashas Ekev. What happens? They start. First, they give comfort to Klal Yisrael. What are the opening words of Parashas Ekev? I don't remember it by heart. Vatoymer Tzion. So they go give comfort. And what do they say? They say, Vatoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem Vashem Shechichani. We're not interested. Get lost. The Navi comes on the mission, so the Avud Raham on the mission to give comfort, and then when the Navi shows up, I'm here to give comfort, they say, we're not interested. We're beyond comfort. We don't want to hear from you. So they try again. Parashas Re'e. Oh wait, did I skip? What's going on over here? Whatever. Parashas Poeschan is Nachmu Nachmu. Parashas Re'e. That was last week. Right?
They come back to the
So they come back. Parashas Re'e. What happens? So the Nevi'im come back to Hashem. They say to Hashem, Anios Soyaro Loi Nuchama. Okay, so let's review what happened. Hashem says, I've got a mission for you. Nachmu Nachmu. Go out, give comfort. They knock on the door. Get lost. Azavani Hashem, Hashem Shechoni, Hashem abandon us. So the prophets go back to Hashem. Ribbono Shel Olam, doesn't work. We tried our best. They don't even want to let us in the door. Anias Sayara Loi Nuchama. We report back bad news that the Anias Sayara, this storm-tossed ship, this ship that's been tossed at the sea, refuses to allow us to enter their homes to give them comfort. So this week, Parsha Shoftim, Hashem says, Ebazeh, the Nevi'im, you're no good. You don't. They're not receptive. I'll do it myself. No thank you. Thank you, but no thank you. I'll do it myself. Onoichi, onoichi, hum nachemchem. Hashem says, I'll do it myself. And then what happens? The next 2 weeks, because Hashem said, Nachamu, Nachamu. Do it twice. So the next 2 weeks, Hashem himself, what does it say in Parashas? He says, say, Rani Akara lo Yolada. Sing Akara. Hashem is speaking, Rani, bring forth song, Akara lo yolada. The one that has not given birth, don't worry, I'm gonna give you children. I want you now to sing with me. Hashem is speaking, Hashem is encouraging Klal Yisrael. Parashas Kiseitse, Nachamo, this is double. What? Kisakisavo, Kisavo. Kumi Oiri, Kivoirech. Rise up light, your sun is coming, your aura is shining. Hashem for 2 weeks does the Nachamu Nachamu. And then what happens in Parashas Nitzavim, Klal Yisrael says, we accept Sois Osis B'Hashem Ribay Nishulam, we accept your Nechama. We accept. We makabel the Nechama. So it's a conversation, it's a beautiful conversation. All the opening words of the 7 weeks of the Shiva, the Nechem, the Chemta are the conversation. Hashem sends out the Nevi'im, they go, they try, they shut the door slam in their face. The Navi goes back to Hashem, Hashem says, last week, they don't want to listen to us. Hashem says, so you stay here, I'll take care of it. Hashem then goes forward for 2 weeks, Kiseitze, Kisovi gives Nechama, and then Klal Yisrael says, oh, we're Mekabel the Nechama. So do you know what that means, Rabbi Yisai? This week, all of the single events should be this week, not the last 3 weeks. Because the last 3 weeks were all miserable failures. Okay? So they got it all wrong. If they would have made the singles event, Parshas, Shoftim, it would have been a good one. Because Parshas Shoftim is this week, is the week where? Anochi hu menachemchem. Hashem says, I'm going to do it. That itself is the biggest comfort. Hashem says, I'm going to be the one that's going to give the Nechama. Halfway with fellow, what this week is all about. This week we should be dancing for joy. This is the real Nechama for the Chum and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it's like you have in the Hadaf Yomi. When Moshe and Hashem, after the Chedor Egel, what does Hashem say? Hashem says, I'm not going with you into Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going. I'm going to send the Malach. I'm sending a malach. The malach's going to go in my place. Metatrain. Right? The dafyom metatrain's going to go in place. And what does Moshe say back to Hashem? If you're not coming with us, then we're not going. We don't want substitutes. In Ein, Atoy Lachis, whatever, I don't know the pasuk. If you're not coming, forget about it. We're not going nowhere. So Hashem, okay, fine, I'm going to come. I'm going to come myself. The same thing. Hashem says agents to give us nechama. Nothing doing. Now, here's the catch. Okay, this is the whammy. Who in Tanakh is the one man that refused to find comfort? Vayimoin lehisnachem. Who? Yaakov Avinu lost his son Yosef. Vayimoin lehisnachem. When did he finally lighten up? Vayares hagolos. When he saw the wagons, Asher Sholach Yosef, that Yosef sent, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. What are the agolos? So Rashi says, the last sugya they were learning together was Egla Arufa. So Yaakov saw a wagon which had the same an agola, which has the same letters as Egel. Far stretch, I don't know what the connection is. I saw the limousine and on the license plate, and the limousine had association. The license plate was a special license which reminded me of the last sugya they learned on Daf Chof Tes on the base. It said the license plate 29B. Oh, 29B reminded me of the sugya we learned. If even a remes was able to lift up the spirit of Yaakov Avinu, Vatimohim lehisnachem to Batechiruach al achas kama v'kama. When you learn the sugya mamish, you learn the sugya. If Yosef would have FaceTime Yaakov Avinu, and they would have gone over the sugya mila b'mila al achas kama v'kama. What do we read in this week's parasha? Right before we come to the words of the Haftorah, Anochi, Anochi hu menachemchem. What do we read twice? We read it twice. The Shvi and the Maftir. Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa. It's not just a remez. We mamish learn the sugi. We have a makor in Chazal that Egla Arufa was the nachas, was able to give nechoma to Yaakov Avinu. If a remes to Egel Aruf was able to give ruach to Yaakov Avinu, alachas kama v'kama, Egel Aruf amanish in its full glory. We read the parish of Egel Aruf in its full glory. Alachas kama v'kama, it gives nechama to Klal Yisrael. Now, what's the $6 million question? What does Egel Aruf really? How does Egel Aruf give nechama to Yaakov Avinu? Wind down with this. So I want to suggest is that there's a very powerful similarity between what Egel Arufa. Egel Arufa is only half the story. Right before Egel Arufa, there's the sugya of Bal Tashkas. The famous pasuk ki Adam Eitz Hasadeh. Right before you go into Egel Arufa, you read about if you go to war against your enemy and you see a nice tree, beautiful fruit tree, don't cut down the fruit tree.
Right.
Don't destroy it. And the pasuk says, Ki ha Adam Eitz Hasadeh. Now we're brainwashed. It's a statement. A man is a tree. Okay, that's a very nice pasuk, and it's very true. Tish Tu B'Shvat. Ki ha Adam Eitz Hasadeh. But in the Pshuta Shel Mikra, it doesn't make any sense to say that a man is a tree, because what does it have to do with cutting down a tree? Torah says don't cut down a tree. So you look at Rashi. Rashi explains Pshuta Shel Mikra that a man, that a tree is not a man. The Pshuta Shel Mikra is mamish. The pasuk is ki dilma. Do you think the tree is like a human being? And Rashi, so you have to look at Rashi out of time. Rashi and the Sifsei Chachamim. What does it mean? This is a very powerful insight. And that is, this pasuk is really, really off the charts. What this pasuk, Rashi explains, is that when you're waging war, and all of a sudden someone strays. Into someone by mistake weighs, takes them into a military zone, okay? Takes them into a military zone, and the army, the besieging army, chaps him. Ooh, he chapped him. So what does the army do? Rashi says this. They take a photograph, they take out a smartphone, they post it on Facebook. Look what we got. Look what we got. We captured one of your people, went into a military zone. Okay, we chapped him. And you know what we're going to do to him? Rashi says this. We're going to starve him to death. No food. You're going to see every week. He's emaciated. We're going to torture him. What happens? When this happens, what happens? The million people living inside the city are terrorized. The pachad, they're gripped with pachad. The pachad, the enemy, look what they did to one person. And this is a sign what's going to happen to all of us. Because we're all part of the same team. And if this happened to him, oh boy, it's coming, that we feel bad for him, it's coming. So the pasuk says, is a tree a human being? If you go and you chop down a tree, you cut down a tree, and you take away its fruit, do the other trees give a hoot? The other trees couldn't care less. You're not going to accomplish anything by cutting down a tree. This is traditional mikra. Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. Is, you have to read it backwards, Rashi says. Is the Eitz Hasadeh like a person? If you capture a person and you knock him down, you cut him down, wow, that sends a shock, a terror throughout the entire Machane. But if you do it to a tree, the other trees, if I take one tree, I cut it down, I take away its fruit, the other trees couldn't care less. Has no effect on them. So therefore, there's nothing to gain by cutting down the tree. So don't do it. Don't ruin the good fruit of the tree where there's nothing to gain. What do you learn from this? The Torah is fataychen, this incredible pasuk. What is the essence of man? We learned about man in Bereishis. Vayivra Hashem Elokim es ha'adam. Doesn't tell us what man is. It just says Hashem created a human being. We have to wait all the way to the end of the Torah, all the way to Parshas Shoftim, to learn, you know what the essence of a man is? A man, if one man suffers, everyone suffers. When one man is in pain, it sends shockwaves to mankind. We're all part of the same team. If they took one of our men, he's in an ace tzara, we're all in an ace tzara. The essence of man is to share the pain of your fellow man. Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. Is Rashi, Dilma, you have to read the words of Rashi inside to appreciate this. We can't do it now. But a tree doesn't care about another tree. A human being, the essence of a man is, we're all part of the same team. And now you only can begin the parish of Egla Arufa. Once you appreciate the value of another human being, can there be then a parsha of Egla Arufa? You find a dead body in between two cities. Who killed this body? Who killed this person? We care. We care. He's one of us. He's one of the team. We have to measure which city. We have to bring an Egel, a Kapara. This person did not produce Peres. We have to be Mechaber. You only can go through the process, the Hakdama, to the parish of Egel Arufa, is to care about another person. To recognize it's just not. The chait of the brothers were, we don't care about Yosef. He's not part of the team. He's not part of the team, then there's no Egel Arufa. When you have the Hakdama Ki Adam Eitzah Sada, you care about your partners, you care about them as Egel Arufa. Yosef sent back the Egel Arufa to show there's an Egel Arufa, and the Egel Arufa can only be built upon a foundation of Ki Adam Eitzah Sada. Ki Adam Eitzah Sada. Vatichi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. What's the chait of the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Sinas Chinam. I don't care about you. You're just in my way. You're not part of my team. We come to the full scope of Egel Arufa. We can now begin the real Nechama Anoichi, Anoichi, Hu Menachemchem. I alone will come give you Nechama. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Ephraim David.